Well, as Gomer Pyle would say, surprise, surprise, surprise. It is me, Jim Thorne. I will be your host for the evening, along with Norm Plord. How you doing, Norm?
Doing well. Doing well. Thank you. Good seeing you again.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. You're the same.
Yeah, and I was trying to think, Paul gave me a call and asked me if I'd do tonight's show, and I said, absolutely, no problem. And I always think, well, Father's Day, I always get the good dates. And then I happen to be also looking at the stocking list for Coldstream Pond.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 11 lines of stocking reports for brook trout and landlocked salmon. So
wow.
Maybe he's on the hunt for some good fishing. But I'm sure he's having a good time tonight, enjoying Father's Day. And and Catherine is also, she's on hiatus tonight. So
she is.
We're going to hold down the fort. How's things been going with you?
Pretty good, actually. I mean, you know, I have a part-time job that I've hardly worked at, so that's not necessarily terrible.
I do, too. I do. Well, I can't say I hardly work at it, but.
You know, well, no, it's just the demand hasn't been there, so, and I'm low on a totem pole because I don't need to work. I mean, I'm retired, and they've got some other part-timers that could use the hours, so I can't blame them.
Yeah, and we were taught you do some gardening, too.
Gardening, yeah.
Yeah.
It's coming along really good. I mean, we tend to start our seedlings a bit early, so we're transplanting seedlings in the garden, tomatoes especially, that they're already 3 feet tall when we transplant them.
Yeah, no, my wife does a lot of flower gardening around the yard, and I've said a lot of times when I wake up in the morning, well, at least you don't have to go water the flowers today.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I haven't done much for flowers, and I'm tempted to get started near my garage. I got this huge rock that if I put some, you know, like pavers in front of it and put in some good soil, the rock would make for a really good backdrop to some flowers. So.
Yeah.
Don't think it's going to be this year, but I can at least put that in, so next year it'll be ready to be seeded. You know?
You have the vision anyway, right?
Yeah.
Everything starts with a vision.
You got to, and you know, I'm at the point now where the drive isn't there to do it all in one season. Terrible as it sounds. But no, and I've been fishing, you know, it's a nice thing about being retired. I can do more fishing trips, so.
Yeah, well, legislative session has been full tilt lately.
I've been reading some texts, and it sounds like it's like,
yeah.
It's like, it's just crazy.
No, most of the time I'm on the road by 6:30 in the morning, and some nights I don't get home until midnight, so.
Oh, wow.
We're trying to make sure that, you know, we take care of the bills that we have, and it's tough when, you know, everybody wants to make sure you know how they stand on all the bills, and so it goes back and forth, and there's been some doozies, and we'll get into that later on. And we also have a guest calling in at 7:30, someone I don't think has been on this show before. But
name's not familiar. So.
Yeah, but he's going to be talking about his organization and also something that's going on next weekend that he's involved in. So that'll be a good listen, and we'll find out all we can about that. But right now, we'll go to the Outdoor Digest. The Outdoor Digest brought to you this week and every week by your friends at the Northwoods Sporting Journal. And if you'd like to call in at any point, our phone number here is 1-800-966-1039. 1-800-966-1039. If you have something on your mind you like to talk about, feel free to call in. This is the call-in show for WVOM. We're 101.3 FM out of Augusta, Waterville, and 103.9 out of Bangor. So let's go to the Outdoor Digest, see what's going on. All right, well, we'll forego the music tonight because, like I say, normally what we'll do is get into some of the things going on. We'll start with the sunrise today. Sunrise getting closer to that summer solstice. That's on the 21st, I believe. And right now, today, the sunrise was at 4:48 a.m. and sunset was at is going to be at 8:22 p.m. That's a length of day of 15 hours, 34 minutes.
Keep it coming. I like it.
Oh, yeah. As somebody would say, geez, another week we'll be losing time. No, yeah, well.
Yeah, try not to bring it up.
That, this, you know, in September, I always tell us, September is usually turns out to be the greatest month ever.
It's really nice, yeah.
You know, usually not a lot of rain, and temperatures are, you know, can be 70, 75 degrees. And we talk about, you know, the moose hunts in late September that have those bluebird days and in the mid-upper 70s, so a lot of good weather ahead. The best is yet to come. Let's see. Our last full moon was just a couple days ago on June 11th. That was the strawberry moon. I don't know if you caught that when it just broke the horizon. But
no.
We happened to be on break at the State House and out on the balcony on the third floor. It faces east.
Oh, nice.
And we were there just as that moon broke the horizon, and it was almost a bright red. And I think we ascertained that it was probably because of the wildfire smoke.
Yeah.
That kind of gave it that hazy filter looking at it when it first came up and broke the horizon. It's because it did get lighter orange as it rose and then eventually white, but it was pretty spectacular when it first came. That was on June 11th. Our next full moon is on July the 10th, and that's the Buck Moon. And I just was looking at these. I'll go down through them for you while I have them in front of me. August 9th is the Sturgeon Moon. September 7th is the Harvest Moon. October 7th is the Hunter's Moon. November 5th, the Beaver Moon. And December 4th is the Cold Moon. So we're on those first week in the month is when our full moons are this year.
Right.
So something good to remember. And one of the things that I did want to talk about was on the Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife site, they do have, I just happened to pull up the stocking report. It caught my eye. And they go county by county, and it tells what date they stocked and what body of water, what species they stocked, how many, and the length of them. And the going rate for brook trout right now is about 10 inch. And, you know, it varies how many they put in each body, but it is usually anywhere from a couple hundred up to 500, 300, you know, right in that area. And I think one of the things that we talked about was Chesuncook. Remember with the lake trout?
Oh, yeah.
How they
thinned them out. If I remember right, they thinned them out because it was just an overpopulation.
Right, and it was, you know, we look at Moosehead Lake, what they've done with their brook trout.
Great example there.
And, you know, you say, wow, if you could capture that formula, but, I mean, each lake, each body of water ecosystem is a little different, how they work and what they have in them for bait fish and depth and acreage and so forth. So it's hard to duplicate that. But I know, you know, Moosehead's had a lot of good success.
We do know that an overpopulation of a species really puts a damper on things. You know, you end up with smaller sizes. And they all need to eat. And so there's less food that's available. So growth is usually slowed down because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, it's actually not. I mean, like you say, Moosehead is a great example. The big trout they're now catching in Moosehead is impressive. And Chesuncook, I believe, was along the same line.
Yeah. Well, and as I look through, I mean, they stocked anywhere from April through right now, the end of May, in a lot of these. It looks like we don't have many with the June date, whether or not that's just because they haven't got in there or not, but updated their stocking list. But if you're interested in taking a young person fishing, a lot of times I know this is we're right up the alley. So, and we have a caller. Good evening, caller. You're on the Maine Outdoors. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Ben, call Skowhegan.
All right, Ben. How's things up in Skowhegan?
Well, I'm trying not to mildew.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth? We get a lot of moisture out back, especially on the north side of the house.
Yeah. So, you were talking about the different moons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, strawberry and harvest.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the other one you mentioned I'm not familiar with.
Well, sturgeon moon. July?
No.
There's the other one. The buck moon, sturgeon, harvest, the hunter's moon, the beaver moon, and the cold moon.
Oh, beaver. That was the one.
Yeah.
That was the one.
Yeah.
What? Okay. I got to.
That's November 5th. And I'll be honest with you, Ben. If you Google search or whatever, 2025 full moon names and dates. For example, one site that I looked at, September 7th, listed that moon as a corn moon and listed the October 7th one as the harvest moon. But, you know, I'm kind of a traditionalist, and it comes a lot of times when they get the moons that are real close to each other, and it's kind of a flip-flop. One site will call it this, and there's probably a half a dozen names for any given moon. But we go traditionally by most of the ones that I read. But, you know, you're right. You know, if you don't have a cold moon, I know sometimes they call it a snow moon. I think wolf moon in January. So you'll get a number of different names, and I don't know how they either name them or choose to call them for that particular year. But I know sometimes it's a coin toss.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to have to consult my almanac.
It's a good resource.
Yeah, and like I say, there's a lot of different names that any given moon could be, you know, depending on the website that you go on. The almanac might have one, and another website might have another name for it that particular year, and I don't know what the decision process is for that. But yeah, sometimes you'll hear somebody say some name of a moon and you'll go, geez, I'm not familiar with that. And they'll say, no, that's because they called it a corn moon, but we call it a harvest moon traditionally.
Yeah. A beaver. I don't get that one.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's, I don't know. That a lot of these are Native American derivatives, you know, of what's going on that month traditionally, and it may have something to do with, you know, the beavers are lodging up, or you know, the ice goes over and you don't see any more beavers. So it seems contradictory for calling it that. But
is there a, because I've been seeing a lot of those black and white little critters, weasels, some people call them skunks.
Polecat.
Is there a polecat? Okay, is there a polecat moon?
No. Far as I know, there's not a polecat moon, but I tell you, I was coming home the other night, and a lot of times you can't tell a black mark from a tire mark in the road from a skunk when it's walking down the road right at you at 50 miles an hour, but I got right up on it, and it was in the middle of my lane, and I just kind of went, oh, this is either going to smell or... And I went over that thing, and the only thing I think the undercarriage hit was its tail. So I got lucky, but, yeah.
They can be stinky critters.
Oh, yeah. No, I've hit them before, and once you get that up underneath your carriage, and you, especially if you got a garage, I pull into the garage, and that's all I can smell for months. But, yeah. Well, anything else on your mind tonight, Ben?
Oh, no. No, I just wanted to know about the beaver moon. I had not heard about that one.
Well, like I say, if you do some investigating when you search on it on the internet for full moon dates and names, if you get into the names, sometimes you'll see a variety of names that they could call them, or alternate names that they call them. In some years, they prefer one over the other out of that list on that month for some reason. So, and it's like a blue moon. I don't have any blue moon. I think a blue moon is a moon that when you have two full moons in the same month.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, and
that one I'm familiar with.
And so, as far as I know, we don't have any this year. So, you know, but it's trending down. You know, if you look at the dates for the moons, or and we'll move on after this. I know we've talked about moons for those that aren't the moon fans, but June 11th, July 10th, August 9th, September 7th, October 7th, November 5th, December 4th. So it goes down and down. So I'm anticipating that probably early in 2026, you'll see a double full moon month where you'll have a what we call a blue moon.
Yep. Okay. Well, thank you very much for taking my call.
All right. Thanks for listening, Ben.
All right. Later.
Oh, all right. Bye. All right. Well, I think we're going to go for a commercial break. We might be a little late for that, but better late than never. And we'll be right back here on the Maine Outdoors. Welcome back to the Maine Outdoors. I'm your host for the evening, Jim Thorne. You're listening to us on 101.3 FM out of Augusta, Waterville, 103.9 Bangor on WVOM, VOM, the Voice of Maine. And I know we're not a sports show per se, but I just had to tell you, I looked on my phone, Norm, and it says Red Sox trade three-time All-Star Rafael Devers to the Giants for hard-throwing righty Jordan Hicks. So Raffy is gone. Raffy's gone from the Red Sox.
It's interesting because I don't follow sports.
I know.
Pretty much.
He was the one that he was the only, I could tell you on the 75 team, everybody from Jim Rice, Dewey Evans, Bernie Carbo, yeah. Carl Yastrzemski, you know, Rick Burleson, all the way down through Pudge Fisk, Louis Tiant. But today, the only one I can tell you is Raffy Devers, and now I can't.
Now you can't. Uh-oh.
He's over in the Giants. So if you're a Raffy Devers fan, you got to get the Giants. Anyway, I did want to go over a couple things, share with you. Again, if you have any questions or want to call in, 1-800-966-1039, 1-800-966-1039. And I know everybody knows about it, but I just want to present it. On Friday, the legislature, the Judiciary Committee, did have a public hearing on the red flag bill. I'm not going to get into the weeds, but I think it's important that everybody knows. They tried to push that through without a public hearing, through whatever reason, you know, persistence of people saying you should have a public hearing. They did have a public hearing. I was actually the last person that day to testify before Judiciary as we were trying to simultaneously conduct a legislative session in the House. They were doing the public hearing up in Judiciary, and the bell would ring, and everybody would run out, go down, vote, come back up to the room. I gave my testimony, and right at the end of it, the bell started ringing again, and everybody stood up to go downstairs. So even though it was chaos, we did get it in. Maine State Police testified in opposition to the bill with the chief executive, the governor's permission to go up there and give testimony. And Lieutenant Michael Johnston gave a fantastic, informative public testimony, answered questions in front of committee again for, like I say, 40 minutes. And for those that may not be familiar, I'm just going to touch over the surface, not going to get into it real bad, but we have a yellow flag law that says if you go through mental health crisis and a mental health professional psychologist says that you shouldn't have dangerous weapons, then there's a process to go through to do it. With this red flag bill, it bypasses that, and a judge just issues an order. You know, if somebody in the family member you get into an argument with and they call the police and you know, they say, you know, you're a threat. The police go to judge. The judge issues the thing. They come to the house and take the weapons. That's the whole idea behind this. Not a good one. It's confrontational and could lead to a lot. And that's basically what state police satisfied for. We're going to be seeing that here probably this week. We'll be voting on it in the legislature. But it did go to committee on Friday, and a lot of people gave testimony, some in support, most in opposition. So you'll see that in the coming days. They also did one on update the definition of machine gun. And that one went, and that'll come back to us. And for anybody that doesn't know, when a bill gets introduced, say, by a representative, it goes to a committee, it gets voted out of committee. It comes to the House votes on it, it goes down to the Senate votes on it, then it comes back to the House, and it's either in agreement or in conflict of how they should go, and then if it gets passed, it goes in front of the governor, and the governor either signs it into law or doesn't sign it into law, or she has a pocket veto where it doesn't pass. So she was in opposition of that red flag, just to let everybody know. Let's see. We also have, there was a lot that was voted out narrowly that had to do with inland fisheries and wildlife and the outdoors. There was a resolution on the making a constitution amendment to establish the right to hunt and fish. This was Liz Caruso's out of Caratunk, and this resolve is actually coming back to the Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, coming back to our committee in January, and we're going to look at that some more and delve into that before we actually do a final vote on that one in the full legislature. And then there's also the one on a resolve authorizing a study to look into the impact of the risks of lead-based ammunition. And this is all lead-based ammunition from, you know, 9mm, 22mm, 30-06, 30-30, lead-based. So we're in a changing world, changing environment. Not everybody thinks things ought to be the way they've always been. Some people think we ought to do away with some of these. So they get discussed, and that's what we did on that one. So it's a resolve. It's a study now. They're going to study the effects of lead-based ammunition. And I guess the premise behind that was that some carrion eaters and birds of prey were feeding on animals and ingesting lead, and they would die, and then they would look at them and say, oh, they had lead in them. Okay, did they die from the lead, or did they die from old age and they just happened to have undigested lead in it? So that's what a study does. And then we have another one that has to do with floating structures that we dealt with, and that one is kind of on a resolve basis as well. There's been a lot of talk of people having these floating structures, and they're camps. Basically, they're camps on floats. Oh, wow. And, you know, there was a lot of questions about, well, where do you put the gray water? What, you know, is there a bathroom? Do you not go in the bathroom? But, you know, do you dispose of it and take it off with a little shuttle boat? Or
there is a solution. A commercial at quarter I will tell you about compost toilets.
Yeah. There you go. So a lot of things to talk about, and a lot of things yet to be resolved. And stay tuned. It's good to be informed and look at a lot of these things. So looks like we have bottom of the hour break right now. We'll be back shortly, and we'll talk more. We have a special guest coming in right here on Maine Outdoors. Welcome back to the Maine Outdoors. I'm your host for the evening, Jim Thorne. If you'd like to call in and have a question for us or anything you'd like to tell us, feel free to call 1-800-966-1039. 1-800-966-1039. You're listening to us on 101.3 out of Augusta, Waterville, and 103.9 out of Bangor on VOM, the Voice of Maine. And on the line with us tonight is our special guest, Brent West. Are you there, Brent?
Hi, how are you doing, Jim?
I'm doing great. And could you share with us where you're calling in from?
I'm calling in just from my house tonight. I'm in Reedfield. And, yeah, it's a pretty nice one. I've been out fly fishing all weekend, catching a bunch on topwater.
Excellent. That's nice. I always like the surface rise better than the nymph. My eyesight's not getting as good as it used to be, so it's hard for me to catch the strike indicators on nymphs and so forth. So,
well, yeah, I like those small ponds.
Hey, you're doing something next weekend. You're hosting a party, aren't you?
Yeah, we're excited. Yeah, we're hosting the High Peaks Outdoor Heritage Festival, where the Moose Water is being hosted this year at the Farmington Fairgrounds next Saturday.
Well, there. For any of the surprise listeners that snuck up on you, next Saturday in Farmington is the Moose Lottery, and you're doing it at the fairgrounds, correct?
Yep, right there at 296 High Street, right on in Farmington, and it's the same place they have the fair every year.
All right, and so gates open at 8 o'clock.
Yep, we have... right open at 8 o'clock. Everyone should be set up. We have close to 90 vendors. The Wilton's Lions Club is actually putting on a pancake breakfast, so you can get there early. Don't have to worry about feeding yourself, and come right in. And we have a bunch of different activities. You get a chance of dunking a warden or one of the local police chiefs at a dunk tank that we're hosting, and that all the proceeds for that will be going to the Rangeley Junior Guides. There's live music and different panels, and I can tell you a bunch about those too if you're interested.
Yeah, no, I was looking on your website. It's the High Peaks Outdoor Heritage Festival.com. I found it by just Googling Maine Moose Lottery drawing, and one of the choices was your website, the High Peaks Outdoor Heritage Festival in Farmington. And, yeah, it does go down through it. It talks about all the different vendors you're going to have, all the different functions. Would you say over 90 vendors?
Yeah, I think close to 90 with all the food and everyone else who's showing up. And, you know, we just put on a program that will be printed so you can get there and get a schedule of all our discussions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's kind of important because we have demonstrations starting right up at 9 a.m. And that's one of the first people up is Daniel Vitalis. He's got 5 seasons of Wild Fed on the Sportsman Channel, and he's going to be showing a free episode there and doing a Q&A.
Yeah.
And we're going to follow him up with this guy, Arthur Haynes, who is lives off the land, and he knows a lot of traditional skills. And
so he does the wild edibles and traditional skills?
Yes, for sure. And he's a plant expert. Not only that, though, he leads trips way back in the North Maine woods where people hike in. When they moose hunt, they really go back up and set up a tent way back off the road and really get back into it. So he has a great perspective. Other people like Hal Blood from Big Woods Bucks, he's actually going to be doing a deer hunting clinic there, sure. Which you know, people sign up,
right,
pay great money to go learn under Hal, and so that's a great opportunity for people.
Yeah.
There'll be a wild game chef, Denny Corview. He's going to be doing a cooking seminar and probably have a few taste tests out there.
Oh, that would be too bad if he had any samples.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's pretty good. And a lot of people, I think, struggle with, you know, how to cook their wild game, so hopefully he can give some people some ideas. We have Russ Lambert. He runs Colorado Outfitters. He's an elk hunt guide out west, and mm-hmm. he'll be there talking about hunting the west. So people have thought about doing that. You know, can talk to him about planning gear, techniques for hunting elk, mule deer, and getting out there in the west. So that's another one we're hosting. So there's quite a few more. We're going to do a panel with a bunch of Maine guides that have hunted moose for decades, and they're going to be going through from A to Z on what you need, where you should go, how to look after it, and you can ask any questions of them about your upcoming moose hunt. And then there's a few more, too, that you know, should be pretty exciting. Zach Fowler, he was the winner of Alone Season 3.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed out in the woods longer than anyone else. He's done these really awesome survival stints, like 30 days on a houseboat or 30 days out in Alaska. And he's really a treat. He's really exciting, passionate guy, and he'll be teaching people how to do Gaiutaku. Have you ever seen those, Jim?
What is it?
Gaiutaku?
No.
So it's all the rage right now, but it's when you take a fish and you ink it and you press paper across it, and it gives a great ink print of your catch. So it's another way to memorialize the fish you're catching.
Yeah, wow, that's interesting. Sounds good. And they also have the, I mean, it's always entertaining to watch the kids on the moose hunt when they do moose calling.
There'll be a moose calling demonstration. We're going to follow that up with moose calling. So when you get there that day, sign your kid up to try out. They have three different prizes, and it'll be judged. Whoever gets the most exuberant moose call out there will win a prize.
Well, there. That sounds like a lot of fun. And I, you know, full disclosure, I've been to, I'm going to say probably 20 moose lottery drawings over the years, from Presque Isle, Caribou, Fort Kent, Rangeley, Jackman, Scarborough, you know, all over these different regions. And every, it's like every location puts their own twist on it, their own enthusiasm into it. And I'm really looking, I'm just looking at all the vendors that you have and all the demonstrations, and you guys are really, you know, put together a great show. And for anybody that hasn't been to a moose lottery and, you know, you're thinking about what to do next Saturday, this is good stuff. If you like the outdoors, if you like to hunt and fish, this is really a full fun pack, especially kids. If you got kids, there's going to be things for them to do, activities. All the food trucks, the food vendors are going to be there. Brent, what time I think drawing starts around 1?
Yes, there'll be a short program at 1. I think the wardens have a color guard and national anthem, and then a few words from High Peaks Alliance and Franklin County of Chamber, where the festival organizers, and we like to recognize our sponsors like Franklin Savings Bank, and we have a number of others. And that would be the starting of it, and then they'll start reading the names. And I think last year they had over 4,100 permits they gave out in 2024, so I don't know what the allocation is this year, but there'll be at least 4,000 names read probably so next Saturday.
Yeah, and it's going to be pretty handy to that. And I know from past years that, you know, we do the drawing starts, you know, a little after 1. They'll start, you know, doing names once they do the opening ceremonies and so forth. But other than that, I think you have to wait until 6 o'clock to get the names online on the IF&W website, the lottery name winners. So I know that there's a lot of people that go and, you know, they always have the scoop on hearing a name right off, and that's always good to let a buddy know that, you know, you heard the name drawn or something like that. So, Brent, can you stay with?
Well, I mean, a lot of us put in for, you know, I think it took me close to 20 years to get my first permit back in 22. So, you know, it can be pretty exciting for people that have put in for a long time. And IF&W actually does not allow it to be live streamed for the fact that they try to rotate this around. So they came to us and mentioned they'd like to see it in Farmington. And so High Peaks Alliance and the Franklin Chamber partnered on this. So our goal is really to have an outdoor heritage festival where people can come and hang out with the different vendors, meet people, have a great community feel, and think about what we're all trying here to protect, which is, you know, keeping Maine wild and accessible. And that's really our mission, and so that's why we're willing to bring this to town this year. And, you know, I think anyone who comes can meet a lot of like-minded folks, and, you know, we have plenty of rooms that people can spread out and actually, you know, take their time and meet these vendors and have discussions and learn about whatever they're interested in.
Right. Brent, can you stay with us for a minute? We have a small ad to do. There are no small ads, only small advertisers. So General Appliance, General Appliance in Brewer. Brewer over on 103 Center Street. Phone number is 989-4341. Specializing in all your gas appliance needs and requirements, composting toilets.
Ride the wave, baby.
Ride the wave, baby. And servicing, and sometimes you might find a surprise that you didn't expect. So they do the full line of gas appliances and service and sales. Easy to find right over off the end of Center Street, right where Main Street and Brewer and Center Street meet. Great service, great customer service, living up to the tradition that Al Elkin established many years ago with he and his family, and they're carrying on the tradition over in Brewer on Center Street at General Appliance. So give them a call or go see them, 989-4341, General Appliance. All right, well, Brent, before we get too far, and we'll come back to the Moose Lottery, but I'm curious if you could tell us a little about what you do there with the High Peaks Alliance.
Sure. The High Peaks Alliance is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we really focus on conserving access to all the different recreational uses that people in Maine love. And so, you know, if you look at our logo, you'll see anything from a fisher, a hunter, ATV, snowmobile, skier, biker, hiker. We really focus on the areas in this neck of the woods that the community really finds as spectacular. So over the last couple of years, we've mapped 1,700 miles of trails. We've sent a technician out to 130 different locations. And in Maine, we've had this social contract where the landowners allow people to use their land in exchange for people looking after it and being respectful. And we're really just trying to protect that tradition. And that goes in many ways. We helped the town of Kingfield conserve a 215-acre trout pond called Shiloh Pond. That actually attracted the meat eater group. And Ryan Callahan came out and did a video with us about that. And we've done other acquisitions of small chunks of land that are highly important to the community, and we run a bunch of trails, and we help ATV and Stoneville Club. So, like this year, one of the big projects we're doing is getting the Bemis Road restored from Byron up to Moose Lake Moguntic Lake. That road was blown out in 23, and now
we're talking like washouts, right?
Yeah, well, extreme washout is that big, close to 250-year flood there. One of the washouts going to take 40 loads of gravel to rebuild the road. So major damage, and that's access to thousands of acres of land. It's ATV trail. There's Angel Falls out there, the Appalachian Trail, Bemis Stream Trail are out there. So, you know, people really want to get out and use these places, but High Peaks Alliance is kind of growing to fit that need of we still need to take care of it, even though landowners switch hands and we'd like to still use these places and go to them. And increasingly, the landowners want someone to work with to keep that access open. So that's the long and the short of our organization.
And there's a network of organizations like yourself that kind of, you know, tie into each other so that hopefully, you know, you get an area like yours that you know, maintains trails and works on and does a landowner relations with in a you know, I'm sure in accordance with the Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, to look at all these recreational programs, like you say, the ATV, the snowmobiling, and I mean, that's a monumentous task when you look at it in the overall scale, but when you take organizations like yourself and you work on your part of the world and somebody else works on their part of the world and you're able to tie that together, it opens up a network of trail systems that's quite impressive.
Well, yeah, that's right. But also, we're going through a pretty large shift in the Maine way of life right now. And, you know, I think we really need to call the people to get involved because, for instance, you know, the elementary school I went to is boarded up. There's a lot of schools up here that are struggling to have enough kids. So we've really changed over. Like 45% of the housing in Franklin County is seasonal recreational. And so, you know, a lot of the mills had closed down. There's still a lot of forestry up in this area. But there's also increasingly, you know, recreational-dependent economy. But that comes at the cost of there's less people volunteering. So we really need to have a, you know, a conversation across the state of what do we want to keep open because, you know, the ATV and snowmobile clubs are very under-resourced. And, you know, a lot of even the Appalachian Trail is having a hard time finding volunteers now that Maine is kind of the epitome of vacation land. So we need organizations to grow, you know, capacity. And one of the things we're doing in that effect this year, we piloted a regional recreational ranger corps. So we're paying four seasonal crews, and we have a year-round trails guy that is going to be working with Ranger Lakes Heritage Trust, Maine Hudson Trails, and our trails to bring a little more stewardship to the area. So, you know, I think we can make a lot of good things happen if people step up and get involved. And, you know, we have a newsletter right on our website, highpeaksalliance.org, and you can stay in touch with all this work if you care about this neck of the woods because, you know, I think even if you don't live here, a lot of people drive to this neck of the woods, whether it's fishing in Rangeley or snowmobiling in Eustis. You're coming up to this neck of the woods, but there's only a few of us that are keeping our finger on the trigger, so to speak, of these issues.
Oh, no, and I mean, I do see it, you know, in my legislative capacity sitting on the Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife Committee. You see a lot of this that you didn't see before and kind of goes by the wayside unless you're involved in it. But, you know, the ATV fees and trails, the snowmobile trail fees to help out the snowmobile clubs. You know, we deal with the milfoil, the boating, the boat landings and launches and so forth all over the state. And the trails system now, hiking has become you know, quite an attraction in Maine, and we just dealt with the bill here last week on dark skies and how we are the darkest sky east of the Mississippi, I believe was the way that it was presented to us, but things that we never thought of in quite a way that we do today because, you know, once it's gone, it's gone, and, you know, we have what a lot of places don't have. So we need to make the most of that. And we, you know, not trying to reinvent ourselves because we still have what we've always done, but, you know, it's an attraction for others and Maine being vacation land and tourism. We need to make the most of that.
Well, I can see like what Brent was saying about, you know, getting people to volunteer. We're a different society today. I mean, previous generations, you know, not only did you receive, but you also was also compelled to help out. And I guess, unless I'm wrong, I see less of that where people today, especially younger people, I'm going to pick on them, I guess, but they seem to like to receive something, but the thought of helping out just doesn't seem to cross their minds.
Right. I mean, that's the importance of bringing it to the forefront. I think that's what organizations like yourself do, Brent, is make that apparent to those of us that are in a position to be, you know, the influencers of the younger generation, you know, bring in our grandchildren.
Well, they have to, yeah.
Yeah, and I'd like to jump in on that because that's one thing I bring up. Maine is, I think, the oldest state in the nation, and we're actually fortunate in some regard in that we have a lot of people that, you know, they're getting to retirement or in retirement and do have time or money to donate to a cause, and it makes a huge difference. And that's also how I viewed the generation that probably has the most traditional type of outdoor values to hand down. And so I think that's a major role that we've kind of discounted in our society, is this role of people helping each other pass down these values in a cultural setting. So it's not like IF&W or BPL, you know, the state can't fix all the problems. I think we as the citizenship have to decide this is important, we're going to take a stand. You know, we've switched from spaghetti suppers and, you know, Legion Hall events to being more online, more disconnected. And so I think, you know, putting yourself out there might take more than it used to, but it's you know, it's really needed and it's really worthwhile, because we see people every day that they get to go by our conservation lands, and for the rest of their lives they could point at it and say, you know, I helped make sure that's always going to be there for hunting and fishing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, and that's, you know, that's a high level of satisfaction for people. And you know, it's a well-tested model. We recently started doing this land trust work because no one else is doing it in this neck of the woods except for up in the unorganized territory sections of this area.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because that's not where our communities are. So that's one thing we're really focused on.
All right, Brent West, we're running out of time, buddy. Thank you for calling in. Big moose lottery drawing, Farmington, next Saturday. Fairgrounds in Farmington. All you need to do is bring yourself. You guys have everything. You have the High Peaks Alliance taking care of the food, the music, the fun. We'll see you there. I'll see you there. And we'll see you right back here on the radio next weekend for more Maine Outdoors.